You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
It's your Daily Dose of Donna. Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, April 16th. I hope you guys are surviving after yesterday. We had such a crazy onslaught of Bravo news. We will get into everything. We'll summarize everything. Plus, Tuesdays tend to be my podcast recap day, meaning I'm going to listen to all the things for you so that you can actually save some time. And I'll wrap it all up here. We're going to talk about Tori Spelling's new episode of her podcast, Misspelling, which I think should be called Mess Spelling. We're going to talk about Bethany Frankel is really opening up about her divorce process. And I have to say, I was quite intrigued in this last episode. Rachel Levis is talking about suing Ariana. And Tom Schwartz is opening up about his new girlfriend. Plus more, all on today's Daily Dose of Donna. Hey, everyone, my love beans. That's going to be, I can't decide. Do we want to do dosers or love beans? How about a dose of love bean? When is that coffee shop opening? Honestly, if I had a good chunk of money that I could just throw into a, franchise business, I would open a love bean. If you could open any franchise business out there, which one would you open? I just saw, that down in Orange County, it's about an hour away from where I live, they opened a new restaurant that is not exactly Soup Plantation, but it's like a remake of Soup Plantation. Raise your hand if you were a Soup Plantation fan. Back in the day, Soup Plantation, was bomb. Okay. I went to Soup Plantation as a kid with my sister and my best friends here at the Beverly Connection in Los Angeles. Shout out if you know the area. And we would go through, and I have a lot of stories about that, and not all of them are legal. So maybe I'll save them for Patreon, because I don't need to get, isn't there like a statute of limitations on stealing buffet meals? Anyway, it's called Soup and Fresh, this restaurant, and I want to go. But apparently, because you can't get a reservation and everyone is craving that Soup Plantation feel, which is, if you don't know Soup Plantation, it is a huge salad bar. Then you also have hot foods, pizzas, bakery items, you have frozen yogurt, soft serve, like all the things, right? And people are dying for it. They're craving that like 90s feeling. And there's apparently a line that lasts over an hour just to get in for lunch. So I don't know if this is worth it, but that's what I would open. Debbie says I would open a Swedish candy store. That as well. I would open a Daily Dose of Love Bean Candy. That's my new company, copyrighted immediately. Love Bean Candy and more. Get your Daily Dose of Love Bean gummies. All right, done. I think it's a done deal. I hope everyone is having a great day today. I'm talking about so much today. You guys, we have a great lineup. Before I get into all the Bravo news that happened yesterday, can we just shout out all the new subscribers here on YouTube and all the new followers over on the podcast app? And if you aren't already part of our Facebook group, Daily Dose of Donna Facebook group, on the lovely app called Facebook. Yes, I know Facebook is kind of like dated, A lot of people aren't on Facebook, but it really is a great way to get to know other people that are into the show and into reality TV. And so join there. Make sure to come on in. Before we get into everything, I want to like give you an update on the TV that I watched last night and where I am. So last night, I totally forgot that Summer House, Martha's Vineyard was on Sunday night. Okay. So this morning I woke up, or last night before I went to bed, I was like, shit, I got to watch Martha's Vineyard. The problem is I'm catching up on Below Deck. This last season of Below Deck, Jill Zarin's season. I'm obsessed, by the way. Like, I may start covering Below Deck. Love that show. But I was catching up on that, and I said, something's wrong with me because I'm choosing Below Deck over Summer House, Martha's Vineyard. And then I watched Summer House, Martha's Vineyard, and now I know why. And does anyone else agree that this season of Summer House, Martha's Vineyard is just not doing it? Tell me, am I alone in this one? I don't know if it's just my honest feeling is I think the cast is way too large. I think there's way too many of them in one house. And I don't know exactly the count of how many there are. I want to say there was like 5 or 6 girls and maybe 5 guys. It's like too many people. And I'm finding myself like not invested in any of their storylines. At least on the you know, original Summer House, there is some character development that I feel like we've really gotten to know these characters. And I'm not getting this. So I'm struggling with it. Okay, a lot of you guys agree. Thank God. I was thinking to myself, is it just me? Did I miss something here? But I'm watching the show and I'm realizing like I'm spending the time on my phone, which is bad. It's always a bad sign for that. Like Summer House, OG Summer House on Thursday nights, I am phone down, eyes up. I'm like this, right? I'm even like that kind of during Vanderpump Rules in the Valley, which is on tonight, by the way. So I will... Oh no, a lot of you guys are saying you're only watching season one because of me. I'm not saying it's not going to get better. We're only about 3 episodes in. I think that these shows do sometimes take a second to develop each season. If you look at, I don't know. It's hard to say. But it's just not on my list of like must-see TV. Vanderpump Villa also aired another episode this week and I haven't watched it. So I need to like remember these things. But it's a sign when it's not on your mind, right? Like what's on my mind this week? Absolutely 100%. Tonight, VPR in the Valley, and then Thursday, Summer House. And other than that, not much else. Not much else. But we're also not watching, there's not a lot of housewives on TV. In fact, I don't think there's any housewives right now. I think our next housewife is May 5th, and that's Jersey. So that's a warning for all you guys to get into Jersey before next season. This last season was good. I liked it. So get in there. All right, let's get into the stories. Well, I want to say really quickly, I think I'm going to cover the Hannah Gutierrez Rust story on Patreon this week. I was watching Emily Baker. If you guys don't know who Emily D. Baker is, she has a huge YouTube channel here. And then of course she's on Instagram. She's on TikTok. She's everywhere, but she's a legal expert that is also a creator. And she live, we were watching yesterday. She went live during the sentencing of Hannah Gutierrez. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, this is the movie Rust, where the cinematographer DP Helena Hutchins was shot by a gun that was loaded and murdered. She was murdered. Alec Baldwin, of course, pulled the trigger. He was an actor in the movie. And the armorer is this woman, Hannah Gutierrez. And she is a young woman who has just now been sentenced yesterday live on this channel. Emily Baker was watching it live and covering it. But 18 months in jail. And I am just so blown away by this whole case because it just goes to show how important remorse is. Genuine, actual remorse and accountability is when you make a mistake. Tom Sandoval, pay attention. And here's why. Because, and I'll get deeper into it on this week's Patreon, but she was found guilty and sentenced to prison. But at this point, they hadn't actually sentenced her, given her her actual sentence, meaning how long she was going to be in prison for. And so what happened was she was sitting there in jail for the last couple of weeks since she got the guilty sentence, and she was waiting for this next trial to give her the amount of time. And it ranged anywhere from probation to 18 months in jail. And meanwhile, while she was in this jail waiting for the sentencing, she made some jail calls. And I didn't listen to the recording, but I saw Emily cover basically what she was talking about on these jail calls. I believe they were mostly with her dad. I could be wrong. OMG. If you want a lesson of how not to act when you are charged with an accidental homicide, this is the I've never in my entire life heard anything like this. She's talking down about the jurors. She's talking badly about the judges. She's saying everyone makes mistakes. I'm just human. She is going off about, you know, how jail's not that bad. She's mad that TMZ is portraying her like she's having a hard time. I mean, you guys, it was as bad as can be. And the judge got wind of it. And then yesterday in the, I think they call it an allocation, I can't remember, but she had her last moment to read a statement before the judge, you know, threw the book at her. And she started speaking about it. And she did cry, but she doesn't in any way feel bad for the actual murder. She just feels bad for her. It is the most insane thing. She says, I'm sorry, but the loss, but she doesn't actually show true, genuine remorse. Her attorney showed more remorse than her over what she had done. You guys, it was so bad. The judge was not taking any of it and literally gave her maximum 18-month sentence. It was bad, you guys. It was really, really bad. Anaconda says it was not first or second degree murder. It was involuntary murder. So that's not a murder. And the max was 18 months. Yes. And so at first, she is very young. And so I think a lot of us were very torn on this because she seemed so young and she seemed so sweet. And a lot of us felt like there's no way that, you know, she did this intentionally, and this could have just been an accident, but these jail calls solidified her as a human being that literally didn't learn her lesson. She was sitting in jail, still feeling like the victim. And not good. So let's get into that. I don't know if you guys are interested in like that true crime stuff, but it's super interesting. And I'm thinking Alec Baldwin is effed. I don't know what exactly his like maximum sentence could be or whatever, but how can he not have some, I mean, there was no intention behind what he did and there was no, it was, you know, he was given something under the assumption that it was, you know, there were blanks, they weren't real bullets, but it just seems so crazy. Like what is going to happen to him? But I think that yesterday's case and just seeing how it went down for her, Hannah Gutierrez, the armorer, I think Alec Baldwin should be worried. I do. So talk more about that later. Crystal Minkoff is officially gone from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. She was fired. So everyone saw this yesterday. This happened right after the episode ended yesterday. So it was like, bam, 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 bam. So much happened yesterday. You guys remember, we found out Robin Dixon was officially fired. We found out Nyeka was potentially fired. I don't think it's been confirmed yet. We found out Candace from Real Housewives of Potomac also was pregnant and she's taking a break. And then we found out that Alexia and Todd will be getting divorced. Todd filed. That's Real Housewives of Miami. And then right after that, Crystal Minkoff officially has been let go from the show. So a couple things here. If you guys watched her statement, I posted it over all my stories. I'm just going to play a second of it for you guys just so you can kind of see her face, her mood, how she approaches it. And I'm curious what you guys think in terms of, you know, how she really feels. And then I'll tell you what I know.
Hi. So I just wanted to share the news that I will not be coming back to film season 14 of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. It's very bittersweet. Never did I think I would have been asked to do this show in a million years, let alone film it for three seasons. Every single year I was asked back, it was a blessing. It was an honor. Being the first Asian American on Beverly Hills was a lot of weight on my shoulders that I have since just have really understood the magnitude of what that meant for people.
The video goes on and on. I don't want to take too much time here, but if you can go and watch it on her Instagram, lots of positive comments from various people in this Housewives world. Tamara Judge says, "You're going to be missed. You're a class act." Andy gave a lot of clapping emojis. Michael Beck, my friend, he came up on one of the first comments. "We'll miss you on the show, but I know this won't be the last that we see of you." Heather Dubrow says, "Love you, Crystal." Alex Baskin sent hearts. Ryan Bailey says, "I don't accept this news." Okay. What I have not seen, I did see one from Garcelle saying, "We'll miss you. Happy for our friendship." I did not see anything. I'm sure there probably is a comment, but I just haven't seen it yet, of coming from Sutton. But I know Sutton and her get along really well. Rob, her husband, which is really funny, says, "And I was really planning to bring it this season," because Rob was like he was the person that said that comment that was about Morgan Wade, saying that he believes that Morgan Wade leaked this news to the press of Kyle and Mauricio's divorce, which I just think is really funny. So lots and lots and lots of love in the comments. I didn't see one thing from Kyle Richards. I didn't see anything from Erica, and I didn't see anything from Dorit and Sutton. I could be wrong. You guys tell me in the comments if you do. I mean, there's so many comments that are checkmarked. So like I could be missing it, but you know how like when you follow someone mutually, it usually pops up as a comment and I'm not seeing those things, but I could be wrong. Now, a lot of happy people about this decision and a lot of mad people about this decision. One person that was incredibly happy was Anna Marie, fired housewife Anna Marie. This is when it really bugs me. So Anna Marie is no longer on the show and she was a one season, one-hit wonder. We'll just call her that, right? And then she goes on her Instagram stories and puts up some really kind of shady comment, how it karma always bites you in the ass no matter what. I don't think Crystal was fired because of Anna Marie in any capacity. I don't think it had anything to do with it. My guess is it probably had something to do with lack of storyline. I don't know. It's interesting just hearing your guys' comments over on my stories and then just on the Facebook group and stuff. It's very torn. Half of you are really, really sad about this news and half of you can't feel happier about it. What I know from my personal connections, I have a lot of mutual friends with Crystal. You know, we're all part of this like mom group here in Los Angeles, not a group, but we all have kids the exact same age. So a lot of my good friends went to preschool, the same preschool with Crystal and her kids. A lot of my good friends go to the same elementary school that her kids go to. So like there's a lot of crossover. And of course I've met Crystal before. This was a complete surprise. She was on Jeff Lewis on Friday. And from what I know, she had no idea about it on Friday. And the news came out on Monday. So I think she found out over the weekend. I think it's a big surprise to everyone. I personally feel I liked Crystal. I didn't have a problem with her on the show, but I do think that there's a lot of rumors about her swirling in the Los Angeles arena. Not so much on the show. We got a wind of it with the 14 friends, but there's a lot of swirling tension between her and other people. Lots of people feel like maybe she's changed since she's been on the show. She's one way with and without cameras. I don't know. I can't speak to that. I haven't personally seen her since she's been on the show. Well, I've seen her since she shot season one, but I hadn't her first season, but it hadn't started airing. That was the last time I saw her in person and spoke to her about it. So I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not. She is now a chump. She's been on Jeff Lewis's show a couple times. She's good friends with Jeff Lewis now. So maybe she'll be back on his show. I'm sure other stuff will happen. As we know, she's doing fine. She's got a beautiful family, a gorgeous life, and a business, and a successful husband. I'm not worried for Crystal's like well-being. I think she'll be completely fine. I just think I was texting with a couple of my girlfriends. We have a lot of mutual friends in this world. And I said, the moral of the story is you can't be on The Housewives and expect to look good. Because at the end of being on a housewife show, like all the shit comes out. People are cheering for your firing in the streets. It's like, it just sucks, right? Being on a show like The Housewives, yes, it can lead to so many amazing things, but the risk versus reward is so interesting to me because the hate that you get, no matter what, you can be the nicest, sweetest person ever and people will hate you for something. If you're on a show like that, it just gives people, I guess, an allowance to just talk shit to you or about you when you're on a reality show. I mean, that's kind of how it is. So we'll see what happens. Meanwhile, Dorit is still on the show as far as we know. If she has been let go, we do not know that. I would be highly, highly surprised if she was let go, maybe demoted to a friend if anything, but I cannot imagine Dorit not being on The Housewives. I just don't see it. I could be wrong. I also had no idea they were going to let Crystal go. So no one really knows what Alex Baskin and Bravo and Andy Cohen and all of them are actually thinking. I think Dorit doesn't need to be on the show anymore. I agree that she doesn't really bring much. Sutton and Garcelle this morning were on the Alex Baskin Hot Mic podcast. Now, this is a subscription podcast, so you don't have access to it unless you pay like a monthly fee. It's kind of like a Patreon. I find it worth it because I like listening to these episodes, although some of them are kind of old news already by the time they air, because I don't know when they shot this episode with Garcelle and Sutton. But what I love about them is they are truly friends. These two girls, Garcelle and Sutton, they came on the show as newbies in the same season. They didn't know each other. Garcelle didn't like Sutton. She thought Sutton was like a spoiled, you know, oh, thank you, Andrew. It was taped in January. That's the problem with it. Someone needs to pass this over to Alex Baskin. A podcast taped in January cannot air in April. It just can't. Not in this space. It actually can't even air a week later. It needs to be the week of because of so much other stuff. Like it should have been taped yesterday and they should have said, so what do you think about Crystal not coming back? Like what is happening here? 4 weeks? 4 months? 4 months we're not getting what is he doing for 4 months with these tapes? Anywho, so Sutton and Garcelle are actually really close, and that to me is very telling, and it's also very appealing. I like watching the two of them on TV. I find them interesting, and I don't know. I feel like if I could be friends with any of those housewives, I'd probably want to hang out with Sutton and Garcelle. But I could be wrong. You never know. You never know with these people. I think they're all fake. A little bit, right? They have to be. Did you guys see this story about Teresa and the Golden Bachelor? I just have to throw it out there. So we have not really heard much. I mean, I think actually now that I'm saying that, I think Teresa did say something that, you know, she's really sad that it didn't work out with her. And I was going to call him the Golden Bachelor, but like his name is AI Gary, let's be honest. Obviously, you know, she is sad. Yeah, it says 4 hours ago on CNN, there was an article that just came, you know, the woman who found love, expressed thanks to her supporters in a post on her verified Instagram account on Monday. Yesterday, she said to everyone who has expressed love, support, and kindness to me, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. You are all such wonderful human beings. It means the world to me that you took time to reach out to me, whether in person, da, da, da. It goes on and on and on. Now, this is interesting because someone found an article that April Kirkwood, so April was one of the The Bachelor contestants on The Golden Bachelor. If you guys remember who she was very kind of fancy schmancy. She was the one that when they played pickleball, she like fell over and she was like, oh, my leg, hoping to have Gary. She was kind of funny. I don't think she ever took it that seriously. But she warned, she posted on Teresa's Instagram saying, I wish you the very best. I truly tried to tell you, but this is your lesson to experience. Much love. So that is a little bit of a yikesy, right? After Bachelor Nation fans saw April's comments, she received a few replies. Now's not the time, April. Yikes, comedian Dave Neal replied. I don't know if you guys follow Dave. He's here on YouTube too. He's great. While April didn't respond to him, she did hit back at another commenter who questioned her words. She said, I care for all women in the world. I want us all to learn from each other and be smart and empowered. Lessons offer us the opportunity. We've all had our hearts broken. What we do with it is entirely up to us. Let's rock this world, ladies. Teresa can lead the way. Today, she backtracked on the previous comments. She offered an apology saying, I would like to publicly apologize for my error in judgment. I sincerely meant no ill will, et cetera, et cetera. You guys, she knew that Gary was red flag bad news. She tried to tell Teresa. And instead of just leaving that between her and Teresa, she decided to try to come off looking like the hero, which a lot of people like to do in these Instagram comments. Like, I'm not going to say any names, but you know. If you know what I'm talking about, where you try to like pretend that you are privy to something in an Instagram comment so everyone knows. But she is, you know, in my opinion, she probably saw that Gary was a red flag. And that's what girls do. If you're talking about women empowerment, you empower your friends to not marry douchebags, right? Where was Bethany's friend? Before she got married to Jason Hoppy, we're going to get into that. I'm very confused. I don't know what to take from this. That will come up in just a moment. All right, we got to talk about Tori Spelling. You guys. Oh, you guys. This is me after I listened to a Tori Spelling podcast. Like, this is me. In a moment where I feel, I'll tell you this. I've said it before and I'll say it again. And I don't say this like to really truly be snarky, but like, let's be real. Tori Spelling is such a mess on this podcast. And I don't think that she would disagree with my comment. I don't think anything about her feels like she's got it together. I think she actually thrives on the chaos. I think that she really enjoys this kind of like, oh, who am I? I don't know. Everything's crazy. It's so everything's out of my control. I'm so wild. This last episode is, I believe it's her fourth episode of her new podcast. And here I am talking shit about it, but it's also my favorite podcast on the air right now. Like, are you kidding me? I will drop what I'm doing. Like, I forget Summer House Martha's Vineyard is on, but if Miss Spelling has a new podcast, I'm like, you know, kids, don't talk to me. I'm working. So she has had four episodes. This last episode is called Misstep. So now I see what we're doing here. The first episode was Misspelling Part 2. Episode 3 is Misplaced. That was about her storage. And this last episode is Misstep. Now, this whole episode, this is the description of it. It says, Tori talks about splitting her chin open during her latest fainting spell and explains why she thinks this keeps happening. Plus, she clears up a few crappy comments made in the press, makes a weight loss confession, and of course, talks about the never-ending storage drama. Okay. So let's think what we can talk about first. She mentions that the press last week took a comment that she said and made stories out of it. And it was about the idea that she can't poop alone. It was about the idea that she needs her 7-year-old son, Beau, to be in the bathroom with her while she's going number two. I can't even talk about this stuff. There's something about Tori Spelling's podcast that is so disgusting. In every episode, she talks about something with bodily functions, including this episode. So I'm going to try really hard to not gross you guys out, but I'm just giving you a trigger warning that we will be talking about some gross, disgusting things if we talk about Tori. But that's, I'm just recapping. I didn't make it up. So she is a, she's talking about the fact that, you know, she never said that she can't poop without her son. She's just saying that her son is constantly invading her privacy. Okay, fine. Fine. I'll take it. She then goes on to talk about the fact that she never drinks water. And I'm judging you. Okay. If you, she literally says that she's allergic to water. She cannot drink water. She's tried water with lemon. She's tried the flavor packet. She cannot drink water. It's, she's allergic to it. She says the only thing she drinks, hand to Hashem up there, the only thing that she drinks, ready, is Diet Dr. Pepper, and in times of crises, ginger ale. Should I say that again? She drinks Diet Dr. Pepper on a daily basis, and in times of crises, ginger ale. Meanwhile, she's already a liar, because on this last episode, when she's in the storage unit, we saw the reel, and she's sitting there with a Red Bull. So she forgot to talk about the Red Bull drinks that she drinks too. Gross. I'm just gonna say something, and this is probably, oy. You know what I think about when I think of dehydrated people? When you realize that you don't drink water, you know what I think about? I think, and you're not eating a lot, I think you probably have the worst breath. I'm just gonna say what I think all of us feel. I think people that don't eat well and don't drink enough water probably have a very bad, some sort of like gut situation, like a microbiome. That's just my honest feeling. I really think like it's bad for smell. Now, that's gross enough, but we're not done yet. She talks about that she has, she's an anomaly because she doesn't sweat. She doesn't sweat at all. She's never sweat once. In fact, she doesn't even have body odor unless she's pregnant. When she's pregnant, her left... I can't believe I have to like cover this. Well, I don't really have to, but I want to, and you guys want it too. Her left armpit smells. This is what her podcast is. It's unreal. Then she goes on to a story about how she's passed out now 2 times in the last few months. Fainted completely. So funny. One time, the first time she fainted, she ended up going to the hospital. And both times she fainted, her daughter, Stella, who she lovingly has always called Bugs, if you remember any of her old shows, that her daughter Stella is the one finding her. Her daughter Stella is the one going to the hospital with her. Her daughter Stella is the one calling 911 in the middle of the night. Her daughter is the one that has to like sit there and deal with this trauma. I am so concerned for her daughter. Can you imagine being 15, 16 and having to deal with this as your mother? It just doesn't feel like good. And where are the other kids? What's happening with them? She talks about the fact that she had to be in the hospital for 3 days. She split open her chin, like, because she's dehydrated and she's still not drinking water. At least get a daily IV. Oh, she can't afford it. Mark, he says season 2, Tori smelling. Yeah, that's the next episode, the next podcast. This podcast should be called Miss Smelling. That's hysterical. Meanwhile, she then goes into a story about weight loss. She talks about the fact that she has been trying to lose weight and she finally is now at a good, healthy weight, but she was at a place where she, I mean, when I tell you that it is one 45-minute long rant, just going from story to story, it's giving a lot of Bethany, like early influencer Bethany. It's really nuts. But she's talking about the fact, and I'm not going to go into detail here because I kind of can't, in the sense that I want to be able to enjoy food. But she talks about the fact that she and all of her friends a few years back decided to take a pill that basically ejected oil from your body. And that's all I'll say about that. And then there was accidents. This is the podcast. She talks about the storage issues, okay? She's like, it happens. You just open the wrong storage. It's okay. Like, we'll figure it out. She said that at one point she had 50 storage units, like the one we just saw, at a place called Wetzel's and Sons. If you live here in Los Angeles, you'll see their moving trucks everywhere. I can't remember where their actual place is. But she said that she had the most insane amount of storage that she wasn't paying, and she did get hit with a bill for $80,000. $80,000 for storage units. She said, this is how I grew up. My mom had storage units. Yeah, your mom could afford them. Then she said that at one point they had an estate sale when she was on with Tori and Dean. On that show, we all, like, if you watch that show, you remember that. And she said that, she said she couldn't pay the Wetzel and Sons $80,000 bill. And so it eventually all went to auction. But she said they were really nice because they did save some memorabilia from my dad and some from my childhood, and they just gave it to me. So I eventually put that into storage, and now I can't pay for that storage. What the actual F is happening? This podcast, you know what? Like I said, I'm doing my due diligence. I am providing publicity for Tori Spelling, and hopefully I'm giving her money by talking about it, because someone needs to shake her. It's like, the definition of insanity is when you do things over and over and expect different results. Now, this morning at my workout, I was talking about her with a couple of the people there. And one of the guys that was there said he grew up with Randy, Tori's older brother, younger brother. And he said that he used to party and hang out over at Randy's house. And they had three kitchens. This is in their big ass house. And he's like, we would just hang out. And then he would call, like, in the house phone, the interior phone, and be like, send up a pizza. And they would just send up a pizza. It's like, this is how they were raised. I can't get enough. It's the most disgusting, hard to listen 45-minute episode podcast, but I can't get enough. And that brings me to Bethany Frankel, because I have a feeling, and tell me if you guys think I'm wrong. Listen to all these people that have iHeart podcasts. We have Bethany, we have Rachel Levis, we have Tori Spelling, and now we have Jenny Garth, who has a new podcast that she just announced today through iHeart called I Chose Me, or I Choose Me. So my question is, remember when Rachel Levis started her podcast that she was going under, like, the Bethany umbrella? My question for you guys is, do you think Tori Spelling, Jenny Garth, remember they were all at that dinner? Where was it? The Bethany Frankel dinner party. Who else was there? Okay, here we go. Larsa Pippen was there. Jenny Garth, Tiffany Thiessen. This was the picture. I'll show it to you guys if you're interested. It was Jenny Garth, Tiffany Thiessen. We had, that's a cute kid. We had Larsa, Nene. Randomly, Elisa Donovan from Clueless. Melissa Rivers. Who is that? Oh, Tanya Rad. She's in that podcast. I want to say it's called, is it Scrubbing In? What's the Tanya Rad podcast? Cheryl Burke, Tiffany Thiessen. Oh, so there's no Tori Spelling here. I thought Tori Spelling was here too. Rachel Levis and Amanza Smith from Selling Sunset. I thought for some reason I felt like maybe all these people are now having podcasts under Bethany. Just like how Teddy Mellencamp and Tamara have their, like, umbrella of podcasts. It's very interesting, and it's possible. So Bethany did reference Tori and Dean in this podcast yesterday. She says, just to give you guys a heads up, Bethany has now started a new podcast series, which I talked about last week, called Just Be Divorced. She's taking Rewives. Anyone that had been subscribed to that RSS feed, that podcast feed called Rewives, are immediately subscribed to Just Be Divorced. Smart move. The only thing that I'm concerned about is that she has so many bad reviews. But this is actually really interesting. And I think this is the stuff that people would have really wanted from Bethany, like, a year ago, before she went really crazy into reality reckoning. If she had just come out talking about this divorce, I think so many people would have had such a different opinion about her. The problem with someone like a Bethany now talking about this divorce is giving a little bit something along the lines of, I don't have enough, like, I need to get the ratings. I need to get the attention. I need people to talk about me. I got it when I got Jill Zarin. I got it when I got Nene Leakes. I got it with Reality Reckoning, Rachel Levis. but then I haven't had it yet. And she has this YouTube series, Bethany, where she does like this wild and crazy shopping, you know, stuff that she does. And they don't do that well for someone of her caliber. You know, they get over the course of a month, they get 30,000 views, which is just not a lot. So, I mean, it's a lot, don't get me wrong, but it's not a lot for a Bethany and with the amount of subscribers she has. So my question is she talking about the divorce because she truly, genuinely wants to help other women? Possible, which she says, or is she talking about this divorce because she knows that she needs to get her numbers up and it's working? She is, as of right now, or as of yesterday, she was on the top of the charts. She was on, let me see, top charts on Apple Podcasts, browse, search, top charts. And I think, which is weird and it shouldn't be anymore, but I think it's still categorized under TV and film because of her rewives. So under TV and film, she is currently number one. Just Be Divorced is number one on TV and film right before My Friends Watch What Crappens. Ben is going to be on my show next month. I love him. And Not Skinny But Not Fat is following her. And then, of course, Give Them Lala. These are like the top 10, Curb Your Enthusiasm, 2 T's When Reality Hits. So those are the kind of top podcasts always. Now, okay. So this first episode that she released yesterday, and then she did a second part today. The first episode is called about how charming is a red flag. She basically goes into detail about how she thinks that being a charming man is actually a problem. Because if you're a charming person, it usually means that's all you got. Like you're putting on this kind of facade to charm people in so that you can punch them from behind. You know what I mean? I want to remind you that when we're hearing any of these people's podcasts, including mine, about any personal stories, it's your own version of what happened. Yes, she could have receipts and proof from the documents from court, but she remembers those early days in their marriage and dating in her way. And there's no way that you can ever, after having a 10-year horrendous divorce process, there's no way you can look back on those early days and be like, oh, he was so lovely. He was so kind. You probably hate that person. You probably despise that person. You probably have so much resentment and anger towards that person. So I don't think that there's actually any way that she can really recall those early days of her dating Jason Hoppe in a positive light. She immediately says that she was, you know, working really hard to make it work, way more than she probably should have, but she wanted the whole thing. She wanted the marriage. She wanted the kid, okay? She got pregnant very early on into the relationship, and she knows now that she would never, ever, ever again get in a relationship with a man who has less money than her, which makes me question Paul, her current fiance, because is Paul that wealthy? Because Bethany's pretty wealthy. So I find that really interesting. She's like, call it, you know, old rules, traditional rules, but I absolutely have zero interest in ever being with someone who has less money than me. I don't care what you say. When a woman has more money than their man, 95% of the time, it turns into a problem. I see what she's saying. I actually kind of do see what she's saying. I don't think everyone can agree with that. I think in a lot of relationships, it ebbs and flows. If you have two working human beings, like I know in my relationship with Lance, it's definitely ebbed and flowed. We've had points in our relationship where I made more and points where he's made more. So I find that kind of an interesting take, but maybe she means like tremendously more money than your partner. She talks about the fact that another red flag of his was on one of their first dates, he talked about Nick and Jessica. Yes, I'm talking about Jessica Simpson and Nick Lachey. On one of the, and remember what year this was that they were together, but she basically says that in one of their first dates, he talked about how he thinks Nick Lachey, or he thought Nick Lachey, should have made more money in the divorce from Jessica Simpson. Why he even knew anything about this, I don't even know what Nick Lachey made in that divorce, but it was probably like a trending topic at the time. It was probably going on or something. And she said that was a red flag. She said another red flag was how close he was with his parents. and how immersed he was with his parents. And this is actually where it gets a little interesting. The second episode, the second part is, what did she call it? I just watched it. It's on YouTube, but she hasn't aired the second part of the episode yet. She aired the first part over on podcasting, and only on the podcast. She hasn't put it on YouTube yet, the second part. The first one is called Charming as a Red Flag, and the second part is called A Power Struggle. Shalene Johnson, my friend Shalene, you guys, I'm getting Shalene on this podcast because Shalene Johnson, I'm just going to highlight her YouTube profile here. She says, definitely not in the best interest of her daughter. That is her father, not smart. Okay, I have so many things I want to say about this too, and I agree. Shalene, by the way, I want you to know this, and this is something that this kind of ties in. Remember, I've talked so much about Rachel Hollis and Dave Hollis, and I did a, you know, a three-part Patreon deep dive. Shalene took it to a new level. She did a Patreon deep dive that should be up there with like Serial on Wondery, if you know what I mean. It is so tremendously done. It's on her Patreon. So go and subscribe to Shalene Johnson's Patreon and listen to this. When I tell you, it is insanely well done. But Shalene has probably spent a lot of time recently kind of focusing in on these dynamics of public figures talking about each other in the public. And this is what this is. So Bethany thinks she's helping women. And maybe she is, but you're right. She's dogging on her ex, her daughter's father. And there is absolutely no way that, you know, Bryn, her daughter, is ever going to be in a mature enough way at this age to say like, oh, mom, you're just mad. I love daddy. Like she's going to 100% take the kind of like, she's going to grab onto this feeling of dad is kind of a piece of shit. And then in this last episode, Nicole says, I love Shalene and Donna. I subscribe to both of you. Thank you. Shalene is like she's like goals for me. Just saying. She's my goals. So when I watch this and Bethany talking about this, and then in today's episode, she brings up Jason Hoppe's parents. Now, if you watch Bethany Getting Married and Bethany Ever After, you're going to remember his parents. They were so sweet, so cute, so kind, so just like, I don't know how to explain it. Like they were just so Midwestern wholesome. I just felt like they were there for Bethany in a way that she never had as parents. And so I was really struggling a little bit listening to her badmouth them even on those shows. But I got from it, and I do have to say I agree with this. She was struggling with the idea of how he was so connected with them, how he never wanted to separate from them. He wanted to spend all his weekends with them. Remember how he wanted to like go home when they had the baby and they would come and visit, and he was very attached to them. Now, if you are a parent and you have a son, this is a hope, right? I would hope that my son will want to spend time with me. I also don't think that my daughter-in-law or my son-in-law, depending on who they marry, I don't think that they're going to want to spend their every other weekend with me and my husband. Like, live your own life, right? So I got what Bethany was doing at the time. But now some stuff has come out. So she's talking about this apartment, this $5 million apartment that she, you know, bought and remodeled. And I was listening on 1.25 speed, and Bethany speaks really fast. So I'm definitely going to miss some things here. But essentially what happened was there was like a big mix-up in terms of who the apartment's name was under. And Bethany paid for it, and she believes that it should have been under her name. And for a while there, it was under one of her assistants' names for whatever reasons, for a trust. And then when they were going through the divorce, they found out in the paperwork that it was under both of their names, hers and Jason's. And she was in shock. How did this happen? I don't remember ever signing that it was both about them. And I mean, it was from both of us. Like, how did this happen? 2 years later, she says, she's talking to an attorney or she's going through some paperwork and she realizes that the only way that the ownership of the apartment could have been gone, could have gone from just Bethany to both Bethany and Jason would be through an attorney and a notary. And she says, I don't remember ever sitting with an attorney or a notary about this. But she also mentions that at that time, Jason was working with her and was giving her a lot of paperwork, was giving her a lot of contracts to sign, et cetera. You know, this is the stuff we hear Mauricio and Kyle do too. Teresa and Joe, a lot of people trust their husbands in this way. I have some thoughts about this when it comes to Bethany and Jason in just a moment. But at this moment, she says, oh my God, I don't remember ever seeing a notary. She goes through the paperwork and she does see that there is a notary, like a stamp, a notarized stamp on this document. Well, it's Jason's mom's name as the notary, like professional, okay? And she was a notary in Pennsylvania, and they crossed off the word Pennsylvania, put on the word New York. Remember, this is all allegedly. This is all what Bethany's saying. And they forged Bethany's signature. They also found out that Jason's mom, at the time that she did this, wasn't even a legitimate notary. Her license had been expired at that point. Okay, that is the wildest thing I've ever heard in my life. And if this is true, that is crazy. That Jason's mom basically lied. And this is before the divorce, you guys. This is before the separation. Jason's mom essentially lied on a federal document, like, you know, basically fakely notarized a document and forged Bethany's signature. And Jason was aware of this. If that is true, that is so effed. But also, you're right. Like, her daughter, Bryn is now going to have to see this. And that's her grandma, which is just kind of shitty to have to be out there in the public. And like for Jason's mom, like, I don't know how old she is now, but I imagine she's at least like 70s, 80s. Ugh. So I don't know exactly, but she did get her apartment back after all of this, which means that it was probably true. I don't think Bethany's saying it now if it didn't actually happen. It's just a matter of like putting that out there about your daughter's grandparents and parents, which just is horrible. Andrew says it did turn out to be true. I wonder what happened to grandma about that. Like, did she end up getting, you know, in trouble for that? Maybe we'll find out. We need to like do some deep diving on her name and like Googling it. Now, another couple things that she talks about, and this is the part where I don't like. She's talking about the fact that Jason, there was a big power struggle between her and Jason, which we saw on the show. I think it was like very clear there was. But this was the problem, is that Jason came into this marriage as obviously less than Bethany financially. And then right after they got married was when Skinny Girl exploded. Think the housewives, Bethany. Just a reminder. Think Bethany getting married and Bethany ever after. All your shows, or Bethany with a baby or whatever it was called. All these shows just have to, you have to shout out Bravo for taking off Skinny Girl. Like, that's what it was. But Skinny Girl really exploded after the wedding and after they got married. So she was making a ton of money right after they got married. And Jason, if you watch the show, was really someone, and this is what I got from watching the show, Bethany really relied on Jason. She needed his help. She wanted his help. She asked him to kind of join and help and like, you know, do anything to kind of, you know, she was struggling a little bit, so she would go to him for advice. That's the feeling I got from the show. She is saying now, when she looks back in hindsight, she's saying Jason had no idea what he was going to do with his career. He felt like he was lost in his career, and I felt bad for him. So I gave him the opportunity to handle my business, to help out with my business, to work for Skinny Girl, to work in sales. I would beg my partners, my business partners, to give him some sort of a job. She said that the reality shows were never supposed to be about them. She said, I don't want a Tori and Dean show. I don't want a Tori and Dean show. I really don't want a Tori and Dean show. She said it like five times. And yet the show became about them. I don't get this. Wasn't Bethany a producer on these shows? If she wasn't, let me know. But you're telling me she thought she sold a show about Skinny Girl, about her business. But yet she was filming every single dress fitting, every single doctor's appointment, every single nursery fitting, every single pre, you know, marriage date, every single any of this. And now you're shocked that the show is about your marriage and your baby? Mm-mm, not buying it. Also, the fact that she was like, he says he didn't want to be on TV, but he would always be voluntarily mic'd up. Dude, he was supporting you. And you guys, this is the part that bothers me, is that he was being a supportive husband in those days. I don't think Jason wanted to be on TV. I don't think Jason wanted to be a celebrity. I think Jason was literally supporting you and was just trying to be there for you. And she's villainizing him because can you imagine if Jason said, no, I don't want to mic up. Producers are asking me to mic up. I don't give a shit about your show. I don't want to mic up. She would kill him. She had to be there for him. I mean, he had to be there for her to be happy with him. And now she's villainizing him for being there for him, her. And she's saying, like, he didn't really have any skills. He didn't have any expertise in there. I just had to throw him. He was going and visiting stores trying to sell Skinny Girl. I didn't know what to do with him. Just awful. So that part, I can't. She's saying, like, I had to give him some of my salary because I felt bad. He wasn't working and he was just helping me. I had to give him some of my salary. Oh, you victim. He was your husband. He, like, I don't know. Now, the notary thing, Andrew does say in the comments a little bit ago, she's saying that Bethany chose not to press charges since it was undisclosed. Since it was undisclosed, apparently Jason agreed to give it to her. Okay, about the apartment. I don't know. Gail says you don't pee in a bucket on camera in a wedding dress, no less, on your wedding day if it's about your business. So true. She was all about it. She wanted this show. And so this is a rewriting history moment. If you want to talk about how bad the divorce was and all the shit then, fine. But like, you can't go back and say it was Jason's fault that he was on the show. That's like what he signed up with, to be with, you know, her. And Shalene says she is highly addicted to being relevant, not just money. She needs validation, could never step away. It's common for people with abandonment issues. Yeah, I mean, the one thing that I truly always think about is Jason Hoppe, like, disappeared from the face of the planet. No one sees Jason Hoppe. No one talks to Jason Hoppe. No one hears from Jason Hoppe. This guy could have sold a book. He could have done a podcast. He could do anything. He can make so much money. He can make so much money. But I just don't, I the fact that he's so quiet, maybe he has an NDA, but the fact that he's so quiet is just interesting to me. That being said, I'm very interested in continuing to hearing her story because it's wild. But just always remember when you're listening to people's personal account of anything, it's their version of history. That's it. You know, in one sentence on today's podcast, she said, you don't normally read every line of every contract or every business like paperwork that you're given if you're in my level. She goes, you don't read every sentence. You trust people and you sign things. She goes, Mark Cuban doesn't read every sentence. Actually, Mark Cuban does, she says, because he's a savant. And 2 seconds later, she says, I'm a savant. Not about that, but about something else. I just think it's really interesting. Wait, what? Anna says he has another child now. Jason Hoppe has another child. Someone find, we need to do it. We need to, TikTok, get on this. I need to, like, I need to know more. Okay. Couple other people that spoke out loud. It's not going to be as interesting as Bethany Frankel, but we'll just do a quick fifth, like Rachel Levis and Tom Schwartz. just for a few minutes, just for shits and giggles. And this is courtesy of Vanderpod Recaps. She is a doser. She listens every day. Lindsay, shout out Vanderpod Recaps. But she basically says in this, in her recap of Rachel Goes Rogue, Rachel is asked a lot of questions about, you know, audience questions, but this I thought was kind of interesting. It says, so some fans have said this, I was writing hard for you until you decided to sue the person you victimized. That's what the producer asks. And Rachel says, this is about her suing Ariana, says choosing to take legal action was not something that I chose lightly. I really had to weigh all of the pros and the cons, and one of the cons was public's reaction to it. I saw this coming, and that's just something I had to debate and realize that if I wanted to seek legal action against Tom, then I also have to seek legal action against Ariana. What I did was not morally right, but recording and distributing the video is also not right. So in, you know, there are two separate instances. One is illegal, so that's hard. She said, it's hard, like, you know, because I do feel guilty. Yeah, I feel guilty for, you know, potentially causing more pain than I've already caused somebody. But then I also take a look at what I've been through, and I've been through a lot. And I just don't think that it's right or fair or just. If we're all out to hold each other accountable, then I guess I'm doing the same. So there you go. Tom Schwartz, meanwhile, was on our favorite Nick Viles podcast, and it was in Coachella, and he has sunglasses in the article over the moment, and or in the video, and Schwartz basically is, you know, Nick Viles is like, are you okay? Are you recovering from the first time you were on our show? Because you remember when he was on the show with Sandoval. Sandoval was such a mess. But he's talking about his girlfriend, Sophia. Schwartz says, yeah, some of it is Sophia. Oh, yes. The question is, why is your heart so full and blessed? It's full of hope. He says, yeah, some of it is Sophia, but I think a lot of it is just not having people in the hospital, not having family members in the hospital. It was nonstop for 2 years, like my brother, both brothers, my dad, but flying back and forth across the country, it has a profoundly stressful impact on your life. When they're given a 5% chance to live, everyone's stable right now. Schwartz asked Nick if he has talked to Sandoval since that interview. So Schwartz asked Nick Vile that. Nick says, I haven't gotten a response. And then they talked about the article. And when they talk about Sophia, his girlfriend, it says, we actually met at a whim at Tom Tom. And it's funny, ironically, around that moment, I made a pledge, not only to myself, but to the universe, that I will not hang out or date. I'm just going to be single and work for the next 2 years official. And then I bumped into her and was just like, and then Nick says, love comes at you in unexpected ways. Is L too strong? Meaning, do you love her? And Schwartz says, I don't want to scare her. Nick says, she's in the room. And Schwartz says, can I give a shout out to Sophia, one of the coolest human beings on planet Urch? What's planet Urch? That's where Schwartz lives, on planet Urch. Planet Earth, the baddest bitch alive. She's got this unconventional sense of humor. She's sharp as hell, super successful. And Schwartz says she overlooks all of my baggage. And when they asked about the age gap, because Sophia is 24 and Schwartz, I think, is 40 or about to be 40. And Schwartz says, honestly, if I was a lecherous old man trolling bars seeking out young women, I think I would feel gross. But we just bumped into each other. We hit it off. We literally just bumped into each other. And man, yeah. So he's happy. I mean, I think he's going to be on Watch What Happens Live tonight with Chris and Doty. That will be interesting. I'm very interested in seeing that. And Sophia, you know, she seems really happy with Schwartz. Good for them. I'm actually happy for them. Everyone deserves love. Anyway, you guys, I love today's episode. I think I have to do these once a week where I cover what other people say because it's so shocking. So you basically get 10 episodes of podcasts in 1 hour. Thank you so much for being here, all my dosers. Thank you for subscribing, for loving on this podcast, for giving it a 5-star review and rating over on Apple and Spotify. I appreciate all of you guys. Have an amazing Tuesday. See you tomorrow. Bye.
Hey guys, time to get in on the action for the biggest moments in basketball with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projections, place your entry, and win up to 100 times your money. Right now, Prize Picks will match your first deposit of up to $100. Just download the Prize Picks app and use the code GET100. That's code GET100 on Prize Picks for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy.